This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show. Mike Dettea along with Herb Tiley. We're at Acme Oyster House, 3535 right. Perkins Road. Acme will open up at around 11 o'clock, and so come on down. They got some great food and drink specials. And so when you get that last sip of coffee that you on right now, that last sip of whatever, if it's kind of the hair of the dog, if you've been up late,
that's right.
You come on down.
I'm looking for the first sip.
Like Herb said, the very first sip. So we want to thank Acme for opening up for us, and also we want to thank presenting sponsor, Map Construction, always great to us here. Herb, one of the things, LSU, Florida, and this is, man, at one time was such a hotly contested rivalry between the two teams. They didn't like each other. They hated one another. I mean, that was a real hate between the two teams. But at this stage, man, Florida, they're just trying to survive at this stage. And LSU is not technically out, but hanging in there. This got to be a get-right game for LSU.
Well, first of all, with Florida, they are – kind of reeling within themselves and trying to figure out where it all went wrong, right? Where did the train get off the track? So they're not really as talented as they once was on a year-to-year basis. They have some talent there. They've had a couple guys that's left over the past couple of years to go to other programs and that they see success at. And so now you have a coach who was just recently rewarded, I guess, if you will, with a little bit extra time. But we're going to see how that actually works and what that's going
to
look like.
I got to see it to believe it.
That's right, exactly.
You got that dreaded vote of confidence.
We heard that, right? Exactly. So but we don't know. But they're not playing well. I mean, they got a gauntlet of a schedule in front of them. And then you start talking about LSU today, you know, what they came off of last week. You got to feel like LSU is going to be upset, angry, mad, anything you can think of as they go into Ben Griffin Field today and try to see exactly how they're going to bounce back from last week. And it's going to be a fun game to watch for me because I always just like seeing the two colors clash against each other. It's going to be at 2:30, so it's going to be bright and sunshiny day. So it's going to be fun for me. But, you know, you got two teams right now that are licking some wounds. And I'm not quite sure who has the confidence right now. Because I do think that Florida has a good enough team to beat anybody. They just don't ever come together as one. And then I think LSU has the same. They got a good enough team to beat everybody, but what team is going to show up right now? Now, we went through a stretch as far as LSU of a five-game stretch where they looked really good. You know, they were up and down, but they finished games really strong. But then you run into Texas A&M, and then you run into Alabama, and you see the bad side of what LSU truly is, or the lesser side, let's call it that. And so we're going to see if you know, Nussmeier can come back and play a clean football game, still have the confidence that we know and love in Nuss. And then let's see if we can establish a run game. I mean, it's going to be – if we don't ever establish a run game, we're not going to be successful this year.
Well, I agree with that, and you should be angry on how they played against Alabama. That was just such a poor performance. One of the things, and I talked to Coach O about this, what's your memories of Florida? And he said talent-wise, speed at receiver.
That's right.
And he said, man, they had some defensive guys that could run, and they were physical. I think a big part of why they're not successful today – and I did this over the last 11 years. LSU Alabama has produced the most players on a annual game basis. They have 179. Ohio State Michigan is 154, so they in the two spot. Alabama Auburn's in the three spot for 147. Florida LSU 141.
Mm-hmm.
So that goes to show you, man, over the last 11 years, 141 guys that have played in this
game. Yep.
Have went on to get drafted in the NFL. But here's where you hit a dry hole. Last year, how many players did Florida get picked in the draft? One.
Mm.
Ricky Pearsall.
Yep.
The wide receiver who the 49ers picked. They had six the year before, which is pretty solid. But the year before that, they had three. You think about it.
No, that's not going to get it.
Man.
That's not going to get it.
You look at LSU, they had 10, 6, 6. So
that's right.
That goes to show you the talent pool for them has dried up, and Billy hasn't been able to put that back on good fitting. When you look at the amount of talent that they have now, I know in this year's draft class, LSU's probably got another six guys that'll get picked.
That's right.
For Florida,
mm-hmm.
They got one defensive player, and that's Cam Jackson.
Yep.
Cam, I know pretty well. He went to Hainesville High School in Louisiana.
Yep.
Man, Hainesville. Man, you're almost in Arkansas.
That's right.
When you're in Hainesville.
Yeah.
Man, it's cowboy country there. And he started at Memphis, and then he transferred to University of Florida, and they have an Australian punter. Crosshaw.
Yeah.
He's the other one.
Yeah.
Hey, think about it. Man, two players, one on defense and your punter.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
I can answer the question that their recruiting has not been very good. When you only got one guy of your starting 22 that's going to get picked, now maybe one of the junior offensive linemen will declare early, that's not much. And so, Billy hasn't been able to kind of put extra water back in the jug.
No, and you will not survive and you will not be successful in the SEC if you don't have talent, period. We all know this. And at the end of the day, these guys, we're so used to seeing Florida, the Florida Gators have at least 6, 7, 8, maybe 10 guys that go in the draft. But not just that, even the guys that don't go in the draft that play at a high level that are really, really competitive. You don't see that anymore. The last three years, I haven't seen it.
Well, who dropped the ball there? Dan Mullen.
Dan Mullen, that's what I was going
to
say.
He didn't want to recruit. I mean, he just wanted to be coach. Come on, in Florida, and you can't get top players?
Well, he didn't want to. That's the thing. You have to strive to want to be great. And if you're not doing that, then what do you be? You'll be mediocre all the time. So at the end of the day, though, it's up to Billy to change that. And I think that Billy has gotten –
good luck.
He's got some really great coaches on his staff. It's just he's not been successful in bringing in the talent pool. Now, another reason for that could be the NIL stuff. Maybe Florida doesn't have a really good NIL package or what they're trying to do to compete with other schools in that world. But at the end, you know, they've got to figure out how to be able to get these top-notch Florida players in there, some players from Georgia, a couple of players from Alabama, some players from Louisiana, if they can lure them. That's what they were living by all those years, I think. And so at the end of the day, it's going to be one of those things where, Billy, you got to do it or you got to go. Because the seed is on fire right now. It's got to be. The vote of confidence going into next year is one thing. Now, the reality is if you lose out this year, you may not be there.
Because I look at it, you play LSU today. Next week you play Ole Miss.
That's a loss.
And then if you lose to Florida State, he might have a lot more troubles than he's looking for.
There's only one team that's doing worse than Florida, and that's Florida State. Now, there's only one team that you can't lose to, and that's Florida State. There is another team, though, also, that if you lose to, you might lose it all. So
he might lose his job.
Yes.
Because that, to me, may be the death nail if you would lose the last three, but especially lose to Florida State. You might survive losing to LSU and Ole Miss, but I don't know about surviving if you lose to Florida State. And they got a freshman quarterback, DJ Lagway, I saw him when he was in high school in Texas. He was Mr. Texas, the Gatorade Player of the Year in Texas. He was one of the top five recruits in the country last year. He wasn't expected to play this much, but when Graham Mertz went down with the injury, DJ, you got it. He's had some injuries, got the hamstring injury. He's expected to play today. He's really a pocket passer when you watch him. Every once in a while, he'll take off and run. And if I was him, I'd say, man, look what Reed and Milroe did. I got some lanes here.
I'm ready to run today.
But he is really, when you kind of break down the tape with him, he likes to stay in the pocket.
He does.
And what he likes to do, Herb, he's not great throwing the short intermediate. What he wants to do, he wants to hit the big deep pass. That's his forte, to try to, what I always say, open the envelope downfield.
That's right.
He wants to hit that deep pass.
Well, that's what he did when he was in high school, and he loves that. He likes explosive plays. He's a guy that is an explosive play waiting to happen. And I really, truly like the kid. I was surprised when he decided to go to Florida.
Me too.
I didn't think that he would make that pick, but he did. So right as we were talking about, you know, being able to recruit and get the right guys in, well, that's one recruit that's the right guy, and that's a top-notch recruit. But what do you have around him is the question. He's a true freshman, basically. We're trying to get him up to speed. You have no one around him to be able to make him successful, which is difficult. But he does raise the level of play of people around him.
He sure
does. We've shown that. He's shown that earlier in the season. So if he can stay healthy, which is it's with a hamstring, that's going to be difficult. I will say that. He can be really special. Now, that could be the, I guess, the start of a nucleus of getting some decent players in at Florida so that they can try to start building that program up again as the days and times move forward. So we'll see.
When you look at their starting offensive line, they've got three juniors, a sophomore, and a freshman. That's what's protecting me.
Yeah.
If I'm DJ. And the freshman, he may be the best player of the bunch, to be honest with you.
Right.
But, man, you know, if the talent pool isn't there, they lose Etienne, who was a really good back. They lose him to Georgia.
He was a really great back. Now, here's the thing. That's one of the things that I'm thinking is, what is Florida's identity on offense? And I think since Billy's been there, we haven't seen it. Like, you know, when Billy was at UL, I think that his forte was running
the ball.
Yes,
and multiple backs.
That's right. He wanted to run the football all the time. But now I think he still wants to do that. But it's hard to run the football in the SEC when everybody else is throwing the ball all around the yard, you know, and you're playing from behind all the time. So you have to be able to adapt into the situation that you're in. And so I think with Legway, that would give him the opportunity to do that. But you know, Graham Mertz, when he started the season, I was never a Graham Mertz fan. I just didn't think that he had it. And so, you know, now you have Legway, who hopefully can stay healthy, but you have to put the pieces around him, starting with the offensive line, and you got to get him some wide receivers. Now, one thing that you said that was important was when you talked to Coach Owen, he talked about
the strengths
of of Florida. Speed at receiver was one. But the other was the defense. On defense, you have athletic, fast, big, strong guys. He doesn't have that anymore. He needs to figure out how to get those guys back on track and back in the building so they can be successful.
We'll be back with more of the Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show. Mike Dettea, along with Herb Tyler, we're at Acme Oyster House here at 3535 Perkins Road in Baton Rouge. They'll open the doors up at 11 o'clock. We'll be back with more Tailgating Show right after this break. Back here on our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show, Mike Dettea, along with the legendary Herb Tyler here at Acme Oyster House, 3535 Perkins Road. Road in Baton Rouge. Doors will open up at 11 o'clock. I also want to thank our presenting sponsor, Map Construction. Herbo, when you went up against Florida, that was heyday. Steve Spurrier and company, man, it was fun and gun. But people don't realize how well they could run the ball back then. Man, they had some really good running backs, and so they'd lull you a little bit to sleep. They'll throw it here, throw it there, and all of a sudden, then they give you a fistful of the running game. And that's
Freddie Taylor. I'm talking about if you've never seen Fred Taylor play football, go back and watch it. He is one of the best, not only at Florida but in the NFL
as well. With the Jacksonville Jaguars.
That's right. I just remember him running the football, just like with pure speed, power, vision, anything you can say about a running back, he had it all. And he could literally just run through you, over you, around you, whatever he wanted to do. And then he had a mouth full of gold teeth. And so he would always smile at him. And then so and he would try to intimidate you too. I mean, I remember some stories that just crazy. I remember when one of my you know, our linebackers, Marquise Spears, a sophomore at the time. And him and Fred Taylor met at the 2-yard line in Ben Hill Griffin Stadium. And they met at the 2-yard line, and then he ended up on his back 2 yards in the end zone. And he looked up, and Fred Taylor was smiling at him with his goatee. He said, "Good try, young buck." And and all the thing I can remember with Dick saying was, "I ain't going back out there. They would have put somebody out there. I don't want no more of that." So, but no, man, Florida back in the days when they had Danny Waffle, I mean, and then they would throw the ball all over the park with, you know, just Ike Hilliard, Riedel Anthony. I mean, they had a bunch of talent on the outside, like you were saying, just really fast receivers that can catch everything. And then the running game was so phenomenal because it wasn't like they were just powering you off the football. It was they was opening everything up, and they had lanes, and they had the backs that could see and the vision to get through it, and then the speed to make it happen, and then the power to run over you against one, like I said. But the biggest thing I thought about those Florida teams when I played back in the days was they were a solid full team from offense, defense, special teams. On defense, they had Javon Kearse. They had Chester. They had, some Fred Weary was playing back then with them. I think John George, I think the guy's name was a safety. And they just had a lot of talent all across the board. And it was really, truly fun and gun. Even when you're looking on the other side of the field, it was fun to watch them play the way they played because they never really ran a traditional style of pass routes, if you will, like passing combinations and concepts and things like that. Basically, they would have like a trips to one side and then a wide out on the other side. So trips to the left, wide out to the right. And then they would just take the two furthest guys away on the trip side and just take one step and turn and just look down the line of scrimmage. They wouldn't even run a route. The guy in the middle, he would either go, he would run a post, or he would run a flag route, or a corner, or in route, or out, whatever it was. So basically it was just one on one the entire time. So it wasn't a lot of concept routes. So it wasn't as if Danny was really reading defenses and making sure he made the right plays.
He's thrown to an area.
He's thrown to a spot, and he would literally do that. Everybody knows Danny's throwing motion was a little bit unorthodox, and it wasn't like an actual true throwing. It was more like a shot put type of pass, and he would just loft it up in a certain spot, and they would run underneath it and catch it every time. Our defensive backs we had at the time were really, really outstanding defensive backs, and most of all of them went to the league. Denard, I can't think of Denard's last name, and then Torrey James, who played at Shaw. Uh-huh. Went on to play for the Denver Broncos for a long time. And then we had Mark Roman. Yep, drawing blanks on names, man. Mark Roman and a couple other guys. But these guys were literally step for step with the receivers. And Danny Waffle would put the ball in the only place where the receiver would catch it, and they would catch it every time. It was like the most wonderful thing to watch ever. And the timing was so impeccable and perfect that they had to practice before the game. Like, literally, you had to be out there practicing, like, full pads and everything before the game, like the 2 hours before. Because they were just special, man.
The one thing I remember is, I guess you could say, was the confidence, or maybe some people say arrogance, of Steve Spurrier. Because he kind of stuck his chest out and, hey, I'm going to run it my way.
He flipped you off anytime he wanted to.
And listen, if he had a chance to bury you,
he was going to do it.
He was going to load the boot and he was going to bury you.
Well, the thing about Steve was the fact that he knew he had a better team than you did. He always knew that. He knew we were going to win, and if we lost, that's our fault, not yours. You didn't win the game. We gave it to you. And that's okay to have that confidence as a coach. And you know, kids – 18 to 22, 23-year-old kids, young adults, really, really feed off of that. And I think that's what made Steve so special, is that he really didn't give a crap about what you thought about him, his program, or nothing. But what he was going to do was have the right kids in the program. He was going to have nothing but talent and a lot of size and speed and quickness and all this other stuff. And he was going to put the right people in to play. And so, yeah, his arrogance or his confidence, what I like to call is, I just think that he's the Spurrierism. He just has it. He has that it factor. And yeah. He always has. He still has it.
And my thing today is, which Florida team shows, but which LSU team shows?
Well, that's huge.
That to me, neither one of these teams have much of an identity on exactly how they're going to show up. But isn't that a lot of college football today?
That's a lot of.
We see it all across the board.
That's a lot of college football today. The parity in college football is great. One.
Because you got no depth. I think today,
you have no
Herb,
depth.
If you lose a player, it's a Mount Everest drop.
That's right. You have no depth. You have. Because you can't just go pick somebody from somewhere else and just bring them in, even though the transfer portal is full. It's full of guys who are transferring. For a reason, you know what I'm saying? For one reason or another. Now, here's the thing about LSU going into today, in my opinion, is the fact that you said it. You hit the nail on the head. Which team is going to show up? What identity does LSU have? You know who else is trying to figure that out? Coach Kelly. He's trying to figure it out. He don't even have the answer.
So you can hear it in his voice, Herb.
Yes.
He doesn't know.
He doesn't know.
And I think you could hear that in Billy's voice.
That's right.
Coach Napier, when he speaks.
That's right.
It's the exact same way. Even Lane Kiffin, to a certain extent, because I think they may be the most talented team
yep.
all across the board in the SEC. Even he is sort of, man, you know, which one of my teams show up? Now, they showed up last week.
They did.
You know, they took that belt and they spanked the backside of Georgia. Now, how does Georgia show up today against Tennessee?
They're going the same Georgia that showed up against Texas, guarantee it. Watch. That's what I think. I think that Georgia is going to show up. Now, here's the crazy part is – what is the next move? How do you get these kids to answer the call every week in and week out? I don't think you'll ever see it again.
My thing is, you know why? Because if you lose a player, and you're going to lose them, especially in the trenches, offensive, defensive line, you know who you're playing? Freshman.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You can say, oh, that he's a five-star recruit. No, what? You a 17, 18-year-old young man, you going up against a 22 or 23-year-old, he's a young man in my life.
Yeah, but he's a grown man. That's right.
That's a big difference in there. Very few people can make that change.
The size, the strength, the speed. The speed, yeah. But also the mental capacity to be able to let a play go when you lose. Or not get too high when you win.
Yeah, they hang on to bad plays too much. I think, you know, Bob used to always tell me this, Mike, you should have went to school to be a psychologist because you made money, but you could have made it even more on the psychology field.
That's right.
Because I think today with young players and many of them pampered from when they small and they get up, anything bad happens to them, and it trips them up big time.
Yeah.
And so as a coach, I don't care if you're an assistant coach or head coach, you've got to be able to be the psychologist for them,
mm-hmm.
to get the most out of them. You know what? You can't do anything about the play that just happened.
Nope.
You can do fixing the run.
Yeah, the present play and the future plays, you can make an impact on. The past plays, you got to let them go. You learn from them and you move on. Now, you know, I think that LSU is actually doing a good job in that front psychologically, if you will, off the field, because they have some things in place that's
they
been
do
in
have
place.
People that and, are helping that.
Yes, team. And I think that's really good. The difference is that's off the field. How do you do this during the game,
yep.
right? How do you make this happen?
That's
during
a difference,
the game? That's right.
So to speak.
That's right.
So I can tell you how to invest money, but if you don't invest it the way I tell you.
That's right.
Then guess what? You're in the same spot.
That's right.
Over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be back with more of our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show. Mike Dettay along with Herb Tyler. We're at Acme Oyster House here in Baton Rouge. Come on by and visit us. The doors will open at 11 a.m. We'll be back with more Tiger Tailgate right after this break. We're back here on our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show. Mike Dettay along with Herb Tyler. We're at Acme Oyster House here in Baton Rouge. Come on by and visit us. The doors will open up at 11 o'clock today. And also, we want to thank our presenting sponsor, Map Construction. Let's go to our Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line. And it's time now for our Tiger Scout Notebook, brought to you by Thibodeau Regional Health System. Totally focused on patient care. We have on with us Jeff Palermo from the Louisiana Radio Network. Jeff, thanks so much for joining us this morning.
Sweet.
Hey, how you doing, Mike and Herb? How's things going with you guys?
We're doing good. I'm going to throw it to you because Herb and I couldn't figure it out, but which LSU team will show up today? And I'll let you roll the dice on that one.
Well, hopefully not the one that is that we've seen the last six quarters. I mean, it really is amazing, guys, to see what a difference six quarters make. I mean, you go back to the halftime of college in the game in College Station, and LSU is rolling, and Nussmeier's thrown for 200 yards, and the defense is dominating, and you know, Nussmeier throws an interception, A&M changes its quarterback, and it just hasn't been the same. It's just absolutely, I mean, LSU certainly got exposed. I think some of the cracks that were in the foundation became gaping holes or potholes, if you would. And this is a game here today where you have to, you got to get it right. And if you don't, then, you know, I don't know. This season could almost be reminiscent of what you saw in 2015, where that team was rolling along. They were undefeated, played Alabama very well in the first half of the game, and then Alabama ran away with it in the second half, and LSU ended up losing its final – well, ended up losing the next two games after that, and Les Miles nearly got ran out of town. So – you know, it's very similar to that. You know, if LSU puts that together another poor performance, it would remind me of the 2015 game. But I think LSU comes back and plays much better here today because Florida is just they're just not a good team. Too many injuries over there, and even if they're getting Lagway back today, I just don't know how effective he's going to be here today.
Jeff, one of the things offensively and. It has grown now into the big question. LSU can't run the ball. And that is throwing everything on Garrett Nussmeier to make almost every throw count. And I think he feels the pressure.
Yes, he does.
Almost like, I got to do this because we can't run the ball. LSU's inability to run the football, and to be honest, it was masked a little bit last year because you had Jaden Daniels.
Yep.
Okay,
yes.
That wasn't scripted plays. That stuff. Come on, Jaden kind of impromptu himself and made plays. Their inability to run the football with such talent, and you're talking about maybe potentially two first-round pick players at the tackle position, I think is stunning for most people.
I think it's the most head-scratching thing about this team because – you know, not only what you mentioned, the focus of trying to develop a traditional running attack with no more Jaden Daniels. I mean, Brian Kelly and the coaching staff, they recognized that situation. They knew it had to be better this year. They knew they had to come out and run the football and not have to rely on a quarterback to do it. They talked about it in spring football. Brian Kelly talked about it during the summer. You go into preseason camp and you talk about trying to run the football. And, you know, granted, you don't necessarily have all the guys that you thought you were going to have. Obviously, no John Emery, him going down. Caden Durham became a revelation in the South Carolina game, but then he gets hurt and that kind of slows him down a little bit. And you know, you love Josh Williams and what he means, and he's a great story, a walk-on, and now wearing number 18. But he's certainly limited as far as being a big play guy at the running back position. So it's been a lot of factors, and I agree with you. You know, Nussmeier has felt the pressure. It's almost like a pitcher in baseball, right? When he knows their offense is scuffling and that pitcher thinks he's got to be absolutely perfect. And what does he do? You know, he hangs a curveball over the middle of the plate and gives up a 3-run homer because he was just trying to be too perfect. And I think you felt that last week in particular in the Alabama game, especially when they get into the red zone. They have a very, very difficult time running the football once they get into the red zone and scoring touchdowns on the ground this season. And that's why you had to put Tre'Davious Green in there and just give you another option once he got into the red zone as far as somebody that can catch passes and make things happen. And who knows, it may have contributed to that key interception that Nussmeier threw at the beginning of the second half of the Alabama game. He knows, hey, we can't run the football in the red zone here. So the only way we got to score a touchdown is for me to throw the ball into the end zone, and he makes a mistake and he throws that interception. And that was basically the ball game last week against the Crimson Tide.
And look, on the flip side of that, Jeff, you look at LSU's defense, and they're looking pretty good, you know, as far as pass defense. But then you can have anybody that can just pull the football out of the stomach of the running back at quarterback and then run around the end and go score anytime they want to. So how do we stop that? When do we become a team in defense that we can't run side to side and get into some kind of running lanes that the quarterback may have when he decides to keep the football?
Well, I thought last week was a week they certainly missed Harold Perkins. And I don't know if that would have really made I don't think having Harold Perkins on the field would have determined whether they would have won or lost. But maybe it's not as bad as it ended up being, because they just needed someone as fast as Harold Perkins, as athletic as Harold Perkins, to somehow create a little bit more chaos there. But I guess if you want to look at head-scratching thing number two for this season, is the inability to stop the running quarterback. And it's been it goes all the way back to the South Carolina game, and then seeing Colin Guggenheim have that long rushing touchdown against LSU in the Nichols game. So it's been, for whatever reason, and you know, people have talked about, well, they didn't look prepared. They didn't. You know that they worked on it. They're not that incompetent of a coaching staff that they just said, well, we'll figure it out on game day on how to stop a running quarterback. No, they worked on it. They just don't have the horses to stop it. And I think a lot of it starts on the defensive line, and then their linebackers. Whit Weeks and Greg Penn are good linebackers, but they just they got exposed. They got exposed. And
Jeff, what I'd say is, if you go against Alabama, right, you're looking at that team that we saw last week. What do you want Jalen Hurts to beat you at? Running with his feet or trying to throw the football?
No, I want Milroe to throw it.
That's right.
I'm going to
try to force
him. I've seen enough of him run it.
That's right.
So to speak.
I don't understand how they weren't able to slow him down. I don't know. It's just, and you hear, well, you even heard it at the end of the broadcast, you know, Kirk Herbstreit talking about it. Hey, they just don't have the talent. I mean, there's still a bunch of four-star recruits on that field. Sage Ryan was a five-star recruit, according to some recruiting services. I understand that they don't, you know, there isn't the Derek Stingley out there or the Jamal Adams or those type of players. And maybe that really does make a difference. But they still have a lot of good players out there. But for whatever reason, it just hasn't worked out. And I know the coaching staff and the players have tried everything. But at least here in this game, again, I just have a hard time thinking that DJ Lagway is going to be running a 60-yard touchdown run or a 40-yard touchdown run against LSU. I mean, this was a guy that was carted off the field 2 weeks ago, and I understand they take all the precautions in the world when a guy gets hurt. But for a guy to be carted off the field, and then 2 weeks later, you're going to expect him to, you know, run one in from 40 yards out today, I find that hard to believe. And if it does happen today, then – obviously, there's real problems on LSU's defense.
Don't forget, I got $2 on that one, and I guarantee I'll win my $2 back. They're going to score at least a 30-yarder, maybe not a 60-yarder.
You know, guys, we hadn't talked about it, but the guy they really miss, Jacobian Guillory.
Yeah.
Because he was that one big guy on the nose that sort of controlled things inside. And I think of all the losses they had, he's the biggest, because he would occupy a couple blockers up front. He was the guy that I think they were leaning on to be that guy. And once he went down with his Achilles, then that was end of story.
And, you know, it's hard to really see how his impact would have been because it was so early on in the season.
Yes, it was.
Yeah. I will say this. I do think they're playing – with no offense to Ahmad Bro and some of the other guys that have been trying to play at that defensive tackle position, I do think they're playing with almost like three guys on that defensive line. You know, Gio Paez has been solid. He hasn't been great, but he's been solid. And then obviously Braden Swinson and Savion Jones have been really good at times. I think Swinson now has been limited a little bit because you don't have Perkins out on the field. I think teams have, since he's had his big games where he's, you know, had multi, you know, a bunch of sacks against Ole Miss and South Carolina, I think teams now realize, okay, that's a guy we got to make sure that doesn't come and hurt us. And with no Perkins on the field, it makes it easier for teams to game plan against him. But, you know, Ahmad Bro is a true freshman, and he could end up being a really good player. But this was a kid that was playing on the end last year in high school football, and now you're asking him to be a defensive tackle in the SEC. It's just such a big ask. I know JBR Suggs has given you, when he's out there, he only plays like 10 plays a game, and when he's out there, he might make an impact in two or three of those plays, and it'll be a good impact. But there's just not enough there. And I know they've been trying to get Dominic McKinley out there, but again, you're asking a true freshman. So it's going to take time. And again, it's going to be an area that they're going to have to address in the transfer portal. And hopefully they're able to get more impact players on that defensive line.
Jeff, thanks so much for joining us this morning.
Yes,
always
sir.
Appreciate your
yes,
insights
sir.
And time, brother. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Jeff.
All right, guys. We'll see you. Thanks. Appreciate
it. That's a wrap on our Tiger Scout Notebook, brought to you by Thibodaux Regional Health System, focused on patient care. We'll be back with more of our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show right after this break. We're finishing up here in our number one of our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show. Mike Dettelia, along with Herb Tyler, we're at Acme Oyster House, 3535 Perkins Road. Be opening up the doors shortly here because it's almost 11 o'clock.
2 minutes.
So that's it. And then we want to thank Map Construction, our presenting sponsor. Herb, one of the things I guess is the major question mark, and I think when you do shows in Gainesville, they're saying the same thing, is how bad their defense has been against the run, Florida. Man, they were always a team that stuffed you. Man, they had big linebackers,
yep.
And they would pop into those gaps and hit you. Okay, they stopped the run. And it's funny how these two teams, known for physicality,
yeah.
The ability to stop the run, and both are vulnerable today.
It's not there. It's just, I mean, I think you hit it. It's, where's the talent level at? Where's just the fact of being the right size, the right speed, have the right strength? It's just not there. And so I don't know what you do. So it's going to be an interesting game. It's going to be a lot of finesse going on. It's going to be like a tango, really, more than.
Yeah.
I'm talking about the dance.
I agree with that.
You know, and that's what it's going to be. And it's going to see who cannot make the most mistakes. Period. Throwing interceptions, turnovers, things of that nature.
That's why I think a team who can establish the run, not so much between the tackles, but on the edge.
On the edge and outside.
They
yep.
got an opportunity because you got some open field.
Well, you already know that LSU is going to allow the quarterback to take the edge anytime he wants to. So,
well, we've seen that for two games.
That's right.
We'll be back with more of our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show. Mike Dettelia along with Herb Tyler. We're at Acme Oyster House here in Baton Rouge. We'll be back right after this news break.